The mission is simple. Create the world's greatest striker. Forget everything you know about teamwork. Forget sportsmanship. Forget your childhood dreams of playing nice. This week, we're talking about Blue Lock. Welcome, anime fans and foodies, to Anime Bento. Each week, we review a different anime, and we give you some fun recipes to go along with it. Joining me this week is...
Seth, I'm super happy to be here.
I'm really excited for us to finally talk about this anime. This week, we have some delicious items for you to try. First up, we have Ego's Ramen Dinner, your favorite stir-fried ramen, canned corn, drained of course, Japanese mayo and cheese. This is going to help you find the next best striker. For our mocktail this week, we have the pickled radish. No pickled radish actually in it. With pineapple, mango, and lime juice topped with ginger beer and some honey simple syrup, you're going to want seconds and thirds of this one. And finally, for our cocktail, we have the 299. With your favorite blue Gatorade, mine is Glacier Freeze, lemon lime soda, coconut rum, and pineapple juice, you're going to move up the ranks quickly with this one. Now let's jump into the show. A Japanese soccer team has failed one too many times, so they hire a madman named Jinpachi Ego with a wild vision. His idea? Lock 300 of the best young strikers in a high-tech prison called Blue Lock and put them through a brutal battle royale-style training camp to find the one true egoist who can lead Japan to World Cup glory. Blue Lock the manga debuted in 2018 and became an anime in 2022. You can watch it on Hulu/Disney Plus or Crunchyroll. Spoiler warning, the truth is revealed ahead. This section contains spoilers that reveal characters' backstories and future plot points. Continue only if you're ready to face the truth. Seth, it's Blue Lock time. I know we've been waiting to talk about this for a while now. So what were some of your first impressions of this anime?
So immediately, it's classic, just sports. You know, I love sports in general. So when it comes to sportsy anime, I'm just already excited and locked in. But first episode, it starts off as, you know, your traditional team soccer. He's thinking, oh, I have this chance to score. No, I'd better pass it. You know, it's the more teammate thing to do. Well, his teammate, of course, misses it. And so then the team loses and he feels like this awful player because of it. He has to sit there and watch everybody else celebrate in front of him. So he's just kind of down. So it has me feeling for him instantly. So I'm thinking, huh, he's including others, but now that's a downfall. So that kind of goes against everything we've ever learned about team sports. Well, come to find out, the whole theme for this whole entire Blue Lock thing is all about ego and wanting to be the best. You have to do it on your own. You have to be successful on your own. The team does not matter. So it's completely opposite of everything we've ever learned, everything we're ever taught. And so it definitely kind of opened up, developed and flowed in a great way. Kept you engaged because you get attached to these characters and then you never know who's safe. You never know who's going to get eliminated. So it just kind of keeps you guessing, keeps you wondering.
I love a sports anime. That's one of my favorite genres, slice of life in sports. The one reason I really love sports animes is I love a teamwork aspect. I love a group coming together to support each other.
And then surprise.
Yeah, total opposite. I was very hesitant about this one when I first started it. The animation style is very different than what I'm used to. It's a very creepy style. The characters are very exaggerated. There's a lot of It feels horror-esque to me. So I was always nervous about it, but one of my good friends is obsessed with Blue Lock. So I decided to give it a try, and I was sucked in. I enjoyed the action of it all. The soccer scenes are well done. It's animated very beautifully.
Oh, everything was beautiful in it.
Oh, yeah. The way it's depicting of sports, it feels realistic and the characters get tired. There's fatigue. Everyone's pushing. You really feel like each character is pushing themselves to their maximum limit. And then they're like, we got to go a little further than that.
Well, and you see, just kind of link into this one, what made me really fall for the show so much is one of my favorite anime of all time right now is Black Clover. And of course, if you watch anything of Black Clover, Asta's whole persona is, I'm not done yet. I'm going to push beyond. And then another one of my favorites, of course, is My Hero. And you know, his whole persona is, I'm not done yet. I got to push on. I got to go above. I got to go beyond. And so watching this, at first I'm thinking, what's soccer? Like, I don't know anything about soccer. I'm not going to enjoy this. And then every single bit of this is, I'm not done yet. I've got to keep going. I've got to push on. And so I just fell in love from the start because it just hit every single point of anime that I love so much, that development piece.
It's just, it is amazing. You see them hit that wall and then you see the process. And of course, it just is like anime time where it freezes and our main character figures out how to solve the problem. And we see all the pieces. And I love the imagery of the puzzle pieces coming together that they use. And he figures it out. And it's just cool. We get to see the process. We get to see how them going through it. And another thing that I really loved about this show is our team is not just winning constantly. We are losing. Our main character doesn't succeed all the time. He fails. Right. And that's great seeing that there is a chance to leave the Blue Lock program. Let's dive into the story. I know we talked about, like, what is that thing? Is it a Sum 41 song where it's like all killers, no fillers? Like, there are no fillers.
Gas, no breaks.
The only thing I would say that is a filler in this show, and I enjoy it so much, is there's little end caps, a little funny moments that they do at the end of each episode, which is like a little comical behind the scenes of Blue Lock in their little world.
Extra minutes. It's extra minutes.
those are so enjoyable, but they're not part of the show. For something that's 24 episodes long, I really felt like you can't skip. There's no skipping.
No, I would agree. It's very much like even what would be considered filler in like any other anime is all just backstory for these characters. And so you're just going through and it's just, oh, here's a character, you know, kind of introduced to a new one, a little bit about their backstory, boom, you're right back in the game. So it's like, it's not, oh, here's a random day on July 3rd when I did this random thing. It's all about, hey, this applies straight to the game, how they fell in love with soccer, how they developed in soccer, their reason for it. It just keeps on going. And so I really love that. While it kind of gave you some breaks, learned about the people, you had those fun end of episode scenes, it's all about this main story, and every single episode feeds into that main story. So like you said, you can't miss any of it. So when I found myself one of the days, I was just kind of distracted doing something, but then I just had to keep stopping. I was like, what did I just miss? What did I just miss? I had to keep going back to it and just starting over, because most other animes you watch, you can kind of look away for a little while, but this is not one of those.
It is action, 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 like story, 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 but they do give us these little breaks in between. We get this little backstory, and it's a good break between games or matches, I guess, in soccer. Let's dive into some of the characters. I think I put some of these people in main character, but now I'm not really sure. I would really say there's one main character, and then everyone kind of supports him. We would want to say maybe there's two other characters that are really close to him that could be main, but I would say this is Isagi's story, who is our main guy.
And what was hard about it was, you know, maybe episode one, it seems like obviously there's one clear guy. You get to episode two, it's like, oh, this guy seems pretty poor. Like, maybe it's just these two. And then you get to the next episode, well, hold on, it's revolving about two others. So then it's like everybody kind of feeds in and becomes super important pieces of it. And some of the episodes, it seems like Isagi is just sitting here kind of in the background. It's like, well, hold on, like, who's going to be super important for this? And then I'm looking at our list of names here. It's just every single one of these people are very important in different parts of it.
I have this problem with all animes where I always gravitate to these side characters. These other characters, you fall in love with them and you're kind of like, man, I wish we could kind of like shift the focus a little bit. Let's follow this guy around. And I definitely found myself that way with a couple of these characters. But we have our main guy and he kicks it off for us. So Isagi is our main character. He's a high school forward. He opens up the show. He plays the game that you mentioned that he loses by passing the ball instead of, I guess, taking the glory for himself or just focusing on his game only. He has the ability to like smell the path to the goal. So what are some of your thoughts about Isagi?
Well, I thought it was interesting how he's developed, obviously, in the first season. Like, it started off just kind of like, you know, he smelled the path. You can see that one little like smell string all the way like, to the goal where he would go. But then it's like, as you start watching more of it, you realize he's big on just like spatial awareness in general. And so he really does kind of embody that persona of like an observer, obviously. He's looking at his teammates and he's seeing how he can get them involved. He's kind of learning their techniques and their goals. He ends up really just being an observational person, which, you know, you don't see a lot. I mean, obviously everyone kind of like when they're the main character, it's their show. And so like other people have to kind of fall in line with them, but he very much looks to get people involved in every single aspect of what he's doing. And even though this becomes like a whole ego sport, it's got to be, you're the guy. Well, every single bit of it, he's still trying to include everybody else. And so he's kind of going through Blue Lock, still thinking of the team aspect while also trying to find his way as a scorer, which I thought was really interesting because obviously he has a goal and he wants to be one of the best strikers in all of the world. Like, he wants to lead Japan to the Holy Land here, and he wants that opportunity, but he's just not that guy yet. And so he's trying to find his way.
One of my big fears in this anime during episode one is that he would lose his way and he would become almost robot style or just so focused on himself. I was really worried because they open up once they get to Blue Lock. They find out that if they are kicked out of Blue Lock, then they have no chance of ever joining the World Cup team for Worlds. So it's this, you either try your hardest and succeed in here, knowing that there's only going to be one winner, and then you lose and you never get your dream, or you just kind of try to make it on your own. And he is the first one to jump to answer the call. He's the first one to race into the program. I was just very worried that, man, is he going to lose that heart? Is he going to lose kind of the like humanizing part of him? And is he going to just be, in a sense, an anti-hero in this anime?
Well, it gets you wondering too, because, you know, that first episode, obviously, it kind of starts off and everyone sees each other. Then they just play like a classic game of tag. And so he's thinking, oh, I don't want to get anybody out. Like, everybody has the same dream as me. And then something takes over and you have this very likable person. I mean, seems like on the outside, he's a fan favorite. Everybody likes him and their team just won. So he's kind of like already a little champion. I wish I had the name down because I didn't think about it. But, you know, that first episode is just the kind person. The first one to really kind of befriend Isagi and just like, hey, you know, we can do this. I know you. Like, you know, you're a good soccer player. And then all of a sudden at the end, he just gets this kid out and just completely demolishes his dreams. And then this person just flips and goes crazy and hates him, can't stand him. And I'm just like, whoa, our nice, lovable main character. He just hit the dark side there for a second. And so it's kind of like already eye-opening by the end of the first episode or two and just how dark this was going to get and how egotistical you kind of have to be to survive in this area.
100%. Because in that first episode, he has the choice of, and we find out that everyone that goes into Blue Lock is numbered by how skillful they are. They're ranked. I guess that's the best term. They're ranked, and there's 300 people in there. He is ranked 299. And he's in the lowest group, and there's someone ranked 300 there who was it like sprains their ankle or something like that, some injury. And he has a choice to take out the weakest person or take out one of the strongest people in that group. And he opts to take out one of the strongest people. And we see this take over him. Anytime this kind of a moment where his ego takes over him, it was very interesting seeing him take that turn. And first off, we meet him, he's crying in the beginning that he lost, and now we see kind of this, it's a total flip of who I thought this character was going to be.
No, it was very much a big flip. I mean, I thought he was just going to be this quiet guy, just, you know, bottom of the barrel, not a lot of high expectations. Obviously, I'm thinking, oh, he has to scratch back from the bottom. He has to learn a lot along the way from all these people. And then he just starts off episode one, just boom, put himself right up there toward the top, just letting people know he's a force to be reckoned with.
Another thing that I really love about him is the way he adapts. I was mentioning earlier about the puzzle pieces and him figuring out things or coming up with plans of how to succeed and what the team needs to do. But not necessarily what the team needs to do, but what he needs to do to make this plan work all together. He's so great at, what do they call it in the anime? It's basically like they eat up someone's skill.
Oh, they devour.
They devour, yeah. They devour each other's kind of techniques, which is them using that person's technique against them. And he is very, he's very good at it. There's a better word than good, but I cannot think of it.
No, it's definitely like he's one of the top dogs at that, because you look at everybody else and they have their own power, but you don't see kind of like the copy ninja-esque kind of thing of it. Like, you don't see anybody else really absorbing other people's and taking from them. They're just doing their own thing, and they're like, oh, I'm going to do it all with my power. And some of them obviously did become very successful with it, but Isagi, he's able to just adapt everybody's powers for the most part. And if he can't devour it, then he just finds a way around it, finds his way to use his other powers he's devoured and just kind of, you know, just be just as successful.
I do. I also enjoy that. I don't know. It's kind of this cockiness of him. But he does devour an ability and then he uses it right in that moment. And it always leaves
right in their face.
It just leaves them shocked. It stuns people. It takes them aback. It really ruins a lot of people's game. But I would say he is the first one to do this devouring thing. We see other characters take on that, but he really leads the charge of his team and it making the plays. He is not the leader of the group, but he does take charge of the group. So it's pretty cool.
Right. And you might even say, like, he's not even the most skilled player. Like, he goes into these rooms and there's a lot more technical players, a lot more powerful players, a lot more speedy players. But in the end, they're all kind of drawn to him because he wants everybody to get better. He's a playmaker, which, you know, midfielders are supposed to be your playmakers. Those are the ones that kind of like set you in the right place. But as a striker, you're supposed to be kind of all about yourself. You're supposed to really just want the goals. So it's interesting to see everybody kind of gravitate to him and just say, there's something different about this kid.
I think what draws him to people, like what people are drawn towards him is that he's able to balance this when I need to take charge and when I need to watch, like, do my own thing or when I need to let the ego take over. He allows that to happen. But he also realizes that I am on a team. This is a team sport. There are other people who can help me win. And it's this good balancing of I can do this part and then we can do this part. And I think people gravitate towards that, towards him.
Yeah, plus, like, you can tell every single episode, like, he didn't want anybody to feel left out or feel down on themselves. He wouldn't let anybody doubt their abilities. I'm thinking ahead to Chigiri when he just, I can't sprint. You know, I had my injury. I can't go full speed. No matter what, Isagi puts all the faith in the world in Chigiri, and he just wants him to be successful and lift him up. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, why are you talking to me? He's like, because, like, you're part of this team.
Is there anything else you want to mention about Isagi, or should we just move into Chigiri since we mentioned it?
I think Isagi's going to pop up in every conversation of us, so we can go ahead and move to Chigiri if we need to.
When I first saw this art for the anime, before I even dived into it, I did think there is a female character. Like, they have a female soccer player in the show. Because every now and then, you know, it would be like this basketball team, but then there's one, like, female player on the team who's, you know, she's like, I want to play basketball too, and she's really good. So I was like, oh, there's a girl in this team. I was wrong. Chigiri just has this luxurious long hair, nicknamed the princess. Chigiri is one of the fastest players out there. Unfortunately, he suffered a torn ACL injury, which I know I've never experienced it myself. I've never known anyone who's experienced it, but I've seen it on television. And I've heard about sports players who have had this injury. And sometimes it is career ending, I believe.
Yeah, very much so. Once people have that torn ACL, it's almost like you're always going to be a shell of a person you were. Like, you're never going to have the same abilities, the same speed, the same power, because you're always going to have that fear of, you know, tearing it again. And that second tear could be it. No more healing. So a lot of people run with that fear once they have that first one, and then they're just kind of going half speed or overcompensating on the other side, causing further injury because they don't want to hurt that side anymore.
He did heal from his injury, but I believe the doctor did say, like, one more tear and this is over for you. There's no more soccer for you. And he's still fast. So when we meet him, he's still a fast player. And like you said, we're going back to Isagi. Isagi senses that he's not living his full potential out on the field.
No, I agree. He's kind of like, why are you here? Like, if you're not going to give it your all, why would you agree to something like this? And Chigiri's like, shut up. You wouldn't understand it. You haven't gone through the injury that I have. And then Isagi's just like, no, but you're here. Like, you are here and you have skills or something about you. Obviously, you're ranked higher than me. So it's like, what's going on with you? And that's kind of what I talk about, you know, just drawing everybody's skills out. And even when it comes down to it, Chigiri's like, leave me alone. And then Isagi's like, no, like, I'm here to hang out. I'm still going to support you. When they're going into the different teams, different activities, he's like, come on, Chigiri. Like, just trying to include him in every way he can.
Just the way he inspired him to live up to his own full potential, to overcome his fear. Or I feel like Isagi inspired Chigiri to, you know, you only get this one chance. If it's going to tear, it's going to tear. But are you going to hold back forever? Or are you going to try to go for it 100%? There's no
Right.
No middle ground anymore. If you lose here, you lose everything. So why are you holding it all back?
Yeah, you got to leave it all on the table at this point.
And when we do, when Chiguri finally does unleash, it is amazing. The way they capture his running and just the strides. To say that in the beginning that I loved the animation is such a... There are no words to describe how much this was... The way they capture how the players move and everything. It's this cool balance of slow motion and real-time speed. Chiguri's legs move across the field. It just captures how fast he truly is.
Yeah, I love that it very much took on like a Tenya Iida kind of rocket boost style run. Every time he's sprinting, just like boom, like just big strides sprinting. And then people are like, oh, I can catch you easy. They'll get it beside them, just boom, this whole other speed, this whole other gear that nobody else can get to. And they're just like, what just happened? Where did he go?
It definitely, I know this whole show is about ego in a sense and bringing out that. But I hate saying that. I don't feel like it is about like ego in a sense. They call it ego. But I just think it's about going full force or using all that you have, going 100%.
Right.
And I don't know. Chiguri is just such a great character because once he breaks out of that shell of self-doubt or being afraid of his injury, it's just, you can see this change in him that he's more open up to the group. He's more his time with everyone. He's laughing. He's having fun. He's being more part of the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also love his hair care routine. He definitely has a good hair care routine.
Well, the hair care thing, it just cracked me up. Every single bit of the hair, it's like, you know, the hair care, just like how in tune he is with it all, has to follow his process. I'm thinking later on ahead when obviously more people start commenting on the hair, and it cracks me up. The amount of people just call him princess or call him a lady and this and that. Hey, there's no ladies allowed in the men's room. And he's like, shut up.
Oh, man. There is a scene, I don't think it's in the extra time, but there is a funny scene where I guess they're all in like a community bath and they're all in there.
In Baru.
Yeah, like his luxurious hair is just like flowing. It's just that hair is amazing. Okay, this character is one of my favorite characters. So,
mention my character, I think.
Oh, is it? Let's see.
Let's see.
What's
my favorite? You go for it.
Okay, it's Bachira.
Yeah, so Bachira is like the first person to accept Isagi, not just because, you know, he knows Isagi or anything like that, but it's just like, hey, I'm going to have fun. And so first you see Bachira just kind of like laying there sleeping, like, oh, this is all so boring. And then they're all getting mad, like, why don't you take this serious? This is a big deal. And then all of a sudden they kind of awaken the monster. And Bachira wakes up and is like, oh, this is fun. You know, we're just playing tag, like, oh, catch me. And then that's when kind of Bachira kind of takes a liking to Isagi when his ego takes over. And Bachira's like, oh, you've got a monster in you too. He's kind of like, what are you talking about, a monster? Well, then you get later on in the season, you start seeing Bachira's backstory a little bit, and really makes you feel for this character. Because right now, obviously, we know he's a crazy good dribbler. He has all kinds of skills. When he gets up on people, he can push them like no other. Dribble around, dribble above, dribble behind, dribble underneath. Just anything you could need from a dribbler. Like, that's what Bachira can do. But it's like, you just look at the backstory, and it's very much just a lonely person. Lonely person just wanting somebody to play with. Starting to just kind of like get left out of things because he's a little different. And only has like this internal monster. That's kind of what they call it. Just kind of telling him where to go, what to do, but really just ends up playing a lot of soccer with this monster. And so then you look at some of these matches that Bachira's in, and there's just like this little monster taking over, telling him, hey, we're going this way, we're going that way, we're doing this, doing that. Well, then it's really kind of exciting when you get later on into it, and then Bachira kind of decides like, no, this is going to be my show. So there's a lot of that takeover there, and just kind of overcoming your own kind of personal setbacks with it, like every other character's doing, but... Let you talk a little bit about Bachira so I don't take all the good information.
I mean, there's so much about him that I love. It's one of those characters when you first meet him and you're thinking, oh, he's a wild card. He's super eccentric. He is out to get everyone, or not out to get her. He's there to just cause chaos. It just seems like he's there to throw a wrench into everyone's plans. He's doing his own thing. He doesn't really care about whatever the team says. He's there for himself. We talk about this monster that he has in him, and like the monster is his inner voice that tells him to do these things. It's not like an evil inner voice. It's just something that pushes him to do more, to
right.
be more focused on his own game, or in a sense that no one is able to play at his level. So in that sense, it does isolate him from everyone else. He has this, I would say, like a backstory episode. It's kind of his own solo story. And we learn about his whole, him growing up as a kid and not having any friends and just kind of being on his own this whole time. One of my favorite moments from that episode is where Bachira's mom tells him that one day he'll find someone who understands like his monster. He'll find someone to replace the monster, that they'll understand each other. He will find a true friend. And that moment, that was the final turning point. Slowly, I've been growing to really love him. And then that backstory reveal, I was totally like, we must protect this character.
Yes, at all costs.
Yeah. And there is a moment in the show where they divide into smaller teams and they go head to head with other teams. And if their team loses, they lose a member from their team. And our team consisted of Isaki, Bachira, and who else was on that team? Was it Nagi? No.
Yeah. Because Nagi decided that he wanted to see what Yuji was, or what, not Yuji, it's Dori. Wanted to see what Isagi was all about, because just like something about you like excites me. Like, I don't know what it is, but I want to find out more. And so you have Nagi, who just like abandons this whole entire friend who, you know, his lifelong buddy who's been in this with him from the start. But he's like, no, I want to see what Isagi's all about. And then, of course, Bachira is like, let's do it. Like, let's go, friend.
Yeah. And they end up losing and they take Bachira. The other team takes Bachira. And I'm, of course, upset about this. I don't want our duo to be split apart. But there was a great moment. I don't know if it was at that time or later in the show when Bachira and Isagi are just talking. And he's like, if you want me back, you got to win me back.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to wait for you. He said, you got to win me back. And then it just sets up this whole entire arc where they finally kind of build back up to that one game. And it all comes down to it. It's like, oh my gosh, like he's going to get Bachira back.
I wasn't expecting those two to be a good duo, but man, it just makes me smile. I'm so happy for Bachira that he did find a true friend. He's like, but he's not settling either. He doesn't want to settle for just anyone. He makes Isagi work for this friendship.
Oh, absolutely.
He's saying, there's a monster in me. I believe there's a monster in you. And if you're really meant to be my friend, then we should be at the same level. We should be operating at the same level as each other.
Right. And Bachira is just scoring goals upon goals. Like here and there, you know, might have 2 goals this game, 4 or 5 in this little arc. And Isagi, he only gets, you know, 1 goal of maybe every other game or 1 goal a game. So it's not like he's a super crazy scorer yet, but Bachira is still like, come on, Isagi, like, there's more in you. There's more in you. Like, meet me. Be at my level.
That's a cool flip of, because we're always saying Isagi's bringing out this other energy out of other players like Chiguri. But it seems like Bachira is trying to bring that out of Isagi. I need you to be stronger. You need to step up more. We need you to push forward.
Yes, I agree. Very much so on that one.
Yeah, Bachira is definitely that character where I was like, well, maybe if we shift focus a little bit. I wouldn't mind if we could see some more of Bachira's kind of story. Now that I know he's not just a crazy maniac person, that he's got interesting backstory to him, I was like, well, let's see what's behind this curtain a little bit.
Absolutely. I think Bachira is just one that kind of caught me from the beginning. I'm just like, there's something about this one. Like you said, obviously start off as like a all about the chaos, want to just kind of stir things up. But then as you get into it, you're like, I like Bachira. Bachira is a good person. This is not one of those, you know, crazy, oh, I'm going to tick you off right now, so then your only goal is to overcome me and beat me kind of characters like you see in every other anime. This is like, this crazy person becomes a friend. Like, this becomes an ally.
And it is weird in this setting where we know only one is going to rise out of this, and they have to take over each other. Like, they have to beat each other eventually. And it's interesting that Bachira wants to push Isagi forward. They want to go together to the end. And I think that brings us to another interesting character. I would say another one of the core members after Isagi. And he doesn't really show up he's not a part of the main team in the first half of the show. But he's another one of my favorites. So I'm just going to bring him up, and that's Nagi. I love me some Nagi, and another character that I didn't think I would enjoy as much, and then suddenly I don't want him to ever leave this show.
Stay forever.
Nagi is just an extremely lazy, extremely apathetic character who doesn't kind of, he doesn't want to do anything. He doesn't want to be told what to do. He wants to just do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. The unfortunate part is he's very naturally gifted at soccer.
When you think of Nagi, you think he's really got kind of that main character energy, which is like that natural talent, really good in all areas. Obviously, he starts off kind of with a friend. Can't remember his name because there it is, Rayo. So Rayo's kind of like his big buddy. And so then he's kind of shaping Nagi to be this stud soccer player. Like, I want you to be this person. You got to help me through this all. And it just kind of starts off just kind of grooming him to be like number one soccer player in the world. But like you said, Nagi really just doesn't have a lot of drive. I mean, obviously the talent's there, but anytime you see Nagi have downtime, we're getting this little video game out. We're playing like Call of Duty or something on our phone, it looks like, and just no interest. So it takes a special kind of thing to really draw Nagi's interest, which we see with our main character here. And so then we see Isagi kind of just playing his game how he normally would, going against this kind of intimidating person, Nagi, but Nagi's like, there's something interesting about you. Like, I got to know what it is.
I think it is that relationship Nagi has with Rayo. Just, I don't know if we're going to dive into Rayo that much. He's not really interesting, in my opinion.
We can leave
him. I think we can skip him. But him and Nagi went to the same school, and Rayo is a rich kid. And basically, Rayo's parents said that he couldn't play soccer because there's no future in that, and that he should just run the family business. But he wants to defy his parents and play soccer, and he wants his team to go to nationals. And he realizes the only way that they could do that is if he brings Nagi into the team, who is naturally gifted. Rayo's not that bad at soccer. Like, he's good at soccer as well, but he's not at the top level of some of these players. I see, like, a whole list of I'm looking at the list of our characters right now, and there's a whole bunch of these characters that could be Rayo easily. And I just think when I see the relationship with Isagi and Bachira of two people pushing each other to be great, and then I look at the relationship of Nagi and Rayo, and it feels like Rayo's using Nagi to achieve his goals. Like, Nagi is somewhat of a tool that he's using to, like, get further ahead and, like, get the team further ahead.
I think it's that. I think, like you said, obviously, Rayo doesn't want to run the family business. So Rayo's like, I want to have a future in the soccer thing. Like, Nagi, we need to do this together. And so Nagi's natural ability is just going to kind of pull Rayo up with him. So then he's thinking, I don't have to be the best striker in the world. I don't have to be the best anything, but I can be the number two. I can be, you know, a midfielder. I can be a support person. Like, my only goal right now is to uplift Nagi and make Nagi number one. Thinking that he's going to kind of ride those coattails so that they get all the way to these professionals, whatever. And then now, hey, I don't have to run the family business.
Yeah, and I feel like Nagi realizes this in the middle, especially when they have to pick teams, when they're forming those teams of three. And what is it? Isagi won't join them. So Nagi decides to join Isagi and Bachira's team.
Fine, I'll join you.
I think he sees what Isagi has to offer on the table, that maybe Isagi and Bachira, that they're pushing each other to go forward, when Rayo is just kind of just letting Nagi be Nagi. Hopefully that will get him through, instead of pushing Nagi to be more of a stronger person, making him realize his true potential.
I agree. And I think as you watch more of the season, Nagi just embellishes like so much more of a personality. Start to see a lot more out of Nagi. These chemical reactions start to really take over in the show. And obviously he has a really good one with our main character here. And then he gets even one with Bachira. I think at one point they start to get one because Bachira can dribble through and make some pretty clean passes. So then they all kind of really start to develop as a team. So that's where I'm thinking, oh, this team of three, like, they're going to go all the way. And then they get stumped pretty early on because I don't know if they got too kind of over their heads or what it may be, but they decided to go against the top three. They thought, oh, we can do this. Let's do it. They start going against, you know, the number one, two, and three, and then realize quickly, like, whoa, this is no joke. Like, we're not where we thought we should be right now.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I totally forgot about the chemical reaction. The chemical reaction, that's such a cool other aspect of the show that I really enjoyed, which is when the team is fully merging or when they're fully vibing together, they can work efficiently. I think another character that I think is worth mentioning is Baru.
The king. So we got to tell these people, Baru is very much OCD. You wouldn't think so. He's just like this aggressive soccer player. He's very good at it. He has a crazy mid-range, even like a long-range shot where he just goes in every time. It's calculated. I want to say it was about 27 meters at one point, which is pretty far when you're thinking of soccer, but he's just this stud. He just goes crazy every time. But then once they become this team, you know, they go to sleep in the room for the first time and he took the nice bed, but he's got all his clothes folded nicely on this place here. Obviously, when they get to the bathrooms, things like that, like his area is all beautiful and neat. And so just like, what is this like absolute dominating king doing, like making his areas beautiful? And then you get to that funny part where they get into the bath scene. He's just like, what are you doing? You cannot fully submerge yourself in the bath water. It's against the rules. Like, you cannot have all that long hair in there. He's like, relax. It's conditioned. He's like, you cannot have other contaminants in the water.
Yeah, he's like, did you rinse yourself off before you enter the bath?
They're like, of course, obviously.
When he's folding all the clothes and he's just, this is, he has the mannerisms I would have expected from Chiguri.
Yes.
And it's just so, it's such a fun juxtaposition of the, he is, he's just this extreme macho character. I guess it's just, you can't judge a book by its cover.
And normally these characters, when you're watching these shows, like, they'd be the slobs. He'd be the one that's like, man, I'm not following the rules. I'm just here to, I'm obviously number one. I'm going to win. But he does. Like, he has that whole king-like persona where he's number one. Like, nobody's ever going to amount to his level. But he still keeps himself clean and tidy. And I love it that he refers to people as donkeys. He's like, you're never going to beat me, donkey. Get out of my way, donkey.
And that comes to bite him in the butt, because when he is not doing well, and Isagi says, who's the donkey now?
Oh, yeah, he kind of lost his whole persona, just looked drained to be like, I don't even know who I am anymore. And all of a sudden, he's like, no, screw that. Like, I'm the king, and I'm going to show him. If he wants to try to be the king, I'll show him, because I'm the real king, and I'm the real one. He sits there and just comes right back with the same energy and absorbs it back. He's like, don't talk to me like that again, donkey. I'm the king.
And man, this show is all about characters. You meet these characters a little, even the second half people like Nagi and Baru. You do meet them a little bit in the first half. We see them sparsely through. And then you think, oh man, I don't like this guy. I don't really want to spend time with him. And then suddenly we're forced to spend time with him. And you're like, oh wow, he is so interesting.
Right.
I cannot see the team without him. There are some people that you're like, this team need, you fit the dynamic so well. You brought up chemical reaction. He does not have a chemical reaction with, what was it? With Bachira at Isagi.
With nobody, really. He never gets a chemical reaction because he's just all about himself. He says, I'm number one. Like, nobody's ever going to beat me. I'm the best there's going to be. And so his whole persona is about, like, crushing the hope of everybody else. And he's going to devour everybody else before they try to devour him. And his whole kind of embodiment of his ego is this real darkness. And so anytime Isagi's, like, starting to copy abilities, he's like, well, maybe I can copy Baru's shot. And when he thinks about it, it's just, like, this overwhelming, like, darkness. He's like, oh, that's terrifying. Like, no, I can't do that.
We do learn when he was a child, though. He was always this dominant. He was always really good at the sport. It's just that he was too good at it. And no one, again, another situation where everyone was like, well, Baru can just carry the team through it. And we don't have to do much work because he's doing it all. So he just developed this mentality of like, no one's going to do anything and I have to do it all.
Which is crazy because when you look at Baru the first time, obviously when Isagi's like training with him, trying to figure out his persona, it's just like, Baru is like dominant. He's probably number one is what you're thinking. But then once this whole selection goes through, he is not. There's so many people that are so much better than him. And that's why I love that this kind of show, it just brings you in some certain characters and you kind of determine, oh, number one's obviously like Nagi. And then you get a little bit farther and you're like, oh no, like Baru's dominant. That's a striker right there. Maybe that's number one guy. And then you get a little bit farther into it and you get Rin and you're just like, whoa, this guy's dominant. So I just love that it's like it kept feeding you more and more like crazy good characters.
Baru, I'm excited to see what's to come. I think that those are kind of the, I don't know, core of the group. But then there's a couple that I really mentioning that are kind of our starter people that we lose track of them, but they do come back here and there. And one of them is, I'm going to probably say his name wrong, but Kunigami. Yeah. I love him so much. And when he didn't join them in the trio, I was very, not to his own fault. It just took him a while to get past that second stage. It's just, I was really, he's became one of my favorites in the first half. He's just such a joy in the group.
He is very much like the big brother. Like, he wants everybody to do well, but he wants them to do it fairly. Like, he's not about the dirty work, and he doesn't want you to be a cheater. He's like, listen, like, we're going to do this, but you're going to do this the right way. And Sus, I think, he was a nice addition because he was very much that guy that kept everybody grounded, because we do get some hot-headed characters through here, but Kunigami just stayed who he was, and he just stayed true. He was obviously kind of like a powerhouse. He kind of had a similar shot to Baru, where it was like a pretty good mid-range shot, but he was very strong and firm in his core, which kind of made him like a, almost like a junior varsity kind of Baru. You know, he's kind of like that slightly lesser version of him, but a lot more likable at the time.
He definitely balanced all of our other characters out in the beginning. Like, in the very beginning, he was like, we have to play this game by the rules, and we need to play this all fairly. And oh man, he's such a great character. And it broke my heart at the end. At the end of the season, we're moving on to.
I was hoping that was the end of season one, not two, because I was thinking that moment, but I was like, I don't remember when it was.
At the end of season one, all our teams are finalized. At the end of this one stage, and all the teams come out, and there's only so many members that are going to move on to the next stage. And we see all the players come out, and he still hasn't come out yet. And then at the very end, it's not him. And it just breaks my heart.
You get Shido. We lose a couple core characters from Team Z, I believe they were. It's like the first dude, I don't know his name. There's so many characters that I didn't catch their name because they felt so insignificant. But it's like one of them who he stole that kind of like shadow sneak ability from. And then there was the monk. I don't know how the monk keeps going. This is the person who rolls their ankle episode one and then shows some pity on him. And this kid, I don't even know his name, but he's so insignificant to me. And so I'm thinking, why don't we just get rid of him and we keep Kunigami? But they keep pushing this character on.
I have hopes that maybe he'll come back in season two. I'm not sure. I haven't started it yet. I need to binge it. I was waiting for, once we finish this, I'm going to probably that's next thing on my list. But I just felt like he's a character that was worth mentioning. Are there any other characters that you think deserve a little spotlight right now?
Yes, there were kind of a couple more I want to just touch on. Obviously, one that I really liked, but never really had that growth moment was Raichi. And so Raichi has these shark teeth, very aggressive. He's just hot-headed, snarky, belittling. And it's like, you're just like, gosh, nobody's ever going to like this person. But then they even put him on defense. He's like, well, shut up. We're going to be the best on defense anyways. And then he's like, I wanted to be an attacker, but whatever, we're going to win. So they just, no matter what, he still honestly kind of falls into whatever they tell him to do. And so even though he kind of starts off with this hot-headed striker, he's just like, whatever. He said, I'll be the best at whatever you put me at. And so I liked him a lot, but still haven't seen his shine moment. I mean, everyone else kind of gets that moment of development. I just haven't seen it from Raichi yet. But even though he makes it through that final round that Kunigami didn't make it through, it's just like, what more is there to Raichi that we just don't know yet?
He gives me, kind of just bring it to another anime, he gives me Bakugo energy.
Yes.
Not with, and I want the Bakugo drive of, I'm going to push forward to be number one.
Shut up, idiot.
Yeah. He just, that, brass, cut through anything. Just, I'm going to get my opinion out there. But the other side is, I do love that he just kind of is like, well, I'm just going to do this, but I'm going to be the best of this anyway. And you don't need to tell me where to go. I'll do this, but I'm going to make the goals, or I'm going to score. Don't worry where you put me.
I'll score from anywhere. And then the other one that kind of, I don't know, they're also sort of insignificant, but they're just interesting. It was Gagamaru. And so this is the one that's real kind of quirky, very long-legged, can just has a really good jump to him. It's just such a strange character. And it's funny because you watch that first header and it's like, oh, this is like a really cool header. And then just full-on nails the goal or the post of the goal and just bink. And then there's a couple other times or just a big dive or something and then completely face plants. And you're just like, I don't know what's going on with this character. Are they really good or are they just a goofy little thing?
Anytime I think about Gagamaru, I think of, is he the one in one of the first episodes where he's eating the food and then he's got some kind of meat thing, and then the guy who rolls, someone steals one of his food things and he gets upset about that? Is that him?
So.
Yeah, I just, for me, Gagamaru is just this, he's very silent at times and it's just this funny kind of comic. He pokes in and it's this funny expression. Or
when he has these big beady eyes too, that just you never know what's going on in his head.
I feel like he does that thing where it's just like his eyes blink and it's just like funny. You're like, what is he thinking about? What is going like?
I think that was one of the only other like side characters. There were a couple more that kind of jumped in, but the only other one that kind of draws some interest for me was Rin Itoshi, obviously number one. And so kind of comes in just, you don't really know much about Rin other than Rin's the best. And so his only goal is to crush his older brother. And so it doesn't really tell us too much of the backstory. I'm not really sure where the hatred comes from other than his brother kind of leaving him for bigger and better things and giving up on their dreams. But really, Isagi kind of takes a shine to him. It's just like, I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like you're going to elevate me to the next level. Like, I want to follow you. And so that's where, not to bring a big spoiler, but to also bring a big spoiler, where I got to the end of season one and they're just playing. I'm just like, oh, this story's going to win Bachira back. Like, I'm so excited. Like, he could take Rin, but I think he's going to take Bachira. But then they lose. And so I'm just like, oh, no, like, he can't get Bachira back. But then they all decide, like, Itoshi, we want him. Or we want Isagi. That's who we want to take. And then I was surprised kind of in that moment, just the hatred that he got from, like, Nagi and the others around him. Is just, they were so mad at him. But it's not like he had a decision. Like, he didn't choose to be the one taken. So it's like they built this team back up when they were ready to save Bachira. And they're just, they lose. So that was interesting to just kind of see. Obviously, you got to see, like, the number one, two, and three in action right there. And see them kind of really dominate and obviously see that Isagi is not where he needs to be yet. And I think Itoshi is kind of like the introduction to that next level that he has to reach. Like, he had Baru, and kind of that was his first goal to strive to beat, which I don't think he ever really beats Baru, but Itoshi kind of becomes this embodiment of what he can do, but he can do it better. Like, Itoshi, he really has good sense about him too. He can see things with his eyes just like Isagi can, but it's almost like, oh, you didn't see behind you. You didn't see your blind spot. You're only looking where your eyes can see. You're not thinking beyond that. And so I think he kind of is the next big challenge that Isagi gets to encounter.
He felt like a thorn in my side for this story. It was this unbeatable wall that we could never pass. It really did feel at that last battle that it really felt like, oh, is the tide's going to turn? We've been working so hard. There's going to be a shift and everything, and we're going to win it. And it's just at the end, it's like, no, you cannot pass this. Like, it was that Gandalf moment. You shall not pass.
Right. Yeah, I think this is another one of those moments too, where this anime just felt so different. Like any other anime, your main protagonist, they encounter a challenge, they lose originally, or they think about it, and then they just kind of have to grow and overcome, and then all of a sudden they win. And so he saw Rin, he went through the challenges, lost the first time. I'm like, okay, you know, he's been training. He got his team, like, this is it, he overcomes. No, he lost again. So it's like, whoa, like, this is so real. You know, no character's above the rules of Blue Lock, and no character's just going to ascend just because they want to. Like, you have to have these abilities.
There was a point when I first watched this anime that because of the rules of Blue Lock is you lose, you know, you're out. And there was a point, because we were getting towards the end when we kind of had this rematch with Rin. And in my mind, after they lost, I was like, oh, are we going to have a shift? Is this going to shift to another character? Like,
is this going to be a Rin show?
Yeah. Do we just get rid of East? Like, is this an anime where you thought this is the main character?
Actually, surprise.
Like, is this a Baru story? Like, is this guy, are we shifting over to someone else? Luckily, we did not, but we could always. It's just, I think this is kind of the joy of this anime, that it's chaotic in the way where it made me think, like, at least for me, it was like, are we going to switch characters? Any character can leave at any time. It's no one is safe in this world. But I think, any other characters you think, or you think,
No, yeah, I know you had a favorite kind of come up there with the top three, but
oh man, yeah, I do have a favorite. I put him in my favorite moments because he's not really worth mentioning. I just love the attitude of it. He sparked. I believe there's a thing called main character energy that, you know, your main character always feels. Awesome. You watch anyone who's watched anime is like, oh, I know what main character energy is. They have the shown of. Everything just goes right for them, and they suddenly can overcome whatever obstacle is in their.
Yeah, he reminds me of like a scared Lemillion. Like, that's what kind of comes in as like this upper class when he's just like, oh, slightly. He's like really good for some reason, but then he's terrified. So I guess it'd be more like their friend who could turn on all the animal things. Is like just scared, like, oh god, like don't look at me, like I don't want to play.
Yeah, so I believe they're side characters. There's side character energy. Whereas this character is so unique and so interesting, and their attitude is so, it brings out this weird feeling, and you're like...
Same with the long-haired partner of theirs, the one who's just all about the beauty, like, I'm just going to be glam, like, stay out of my way if you're not going to be glam.
They draw your eye, like, your eyes draw to them for some reason. You're like, what is, you're like, I want to know more, but not too much more. I don't need a whole backstory, but... You do interest
like,
me
this
slightly.
Is enough for me, but I'm having fun with you. Like,
yeah, it's just, you know, like, you're giving me just the right amount of you. Let's just chime in some of our favorite moments real quick. Well, because you brought him up, I'm just going to, what's his name? Takemitsu. He's part of the top three. He's the main gang, the unbeatable Rin team that we can't get past. And it seems they're wearing him down at one point. Isuki's getting to him. And then something snaps in his mind. And he's just, oh my God, if I lose here, then it's over. And I can't lose here. And he becomes such a better player.
I have to destroy you. Sorry.
Yeah, he's crying. He's whining his whole way through. He's having a mental breakdown. But because of that, he is playing at his top performance. I love him so much. I was expecting, he had such a great side character energy that I was expecting more from him. Oh, we're gonna have some tragic childhood backstory for this character. Nope, never pops up again. He pops up again because he's part of that team, but he is not important at all. He's important in my heart, but not to the story.
Not to the story at all.
What are some of your some moments that stood out for you that we didn't get to cover?
So some of the ones, like, there's that kind of rank up system. So as you get better, you get better rooms, you get better foods, better amenities. And so it's kind of like, oh, it's a motivation for it all. Like, you look at the foods they're eating. Obviously, these higher people, they're eating, you know, these nice meals, like lots of good meat, lots of good soups. Otherwise, it's like if you're bottom of the barrel, you just get this boring soup. And so it's like, oh, I guess I'll keep eating my soup, because Isagi obviously is bottom of the chain, keeps the lower numbers the whole time, so he just gets used to his soup. But I thought the kind of the motivational piece was nice there. We had a couple episodes moving on. It was some of the animations, really, just kind of like the way they depicted it in the story. You look at, like, when Shigeru woke up, it literally put on this image of chains, like, holding him back, and he's like, no, like, I'm not done yet, just, I gotta push through, and just, you see the big chains break, and then Shigeru becomes this new person, like, this new animal. You look a little bit further, and you have, you know, Bachira's take over, and so now Bachira starts to take over the same thing, and push past those limits, and just, the monster embodies, and comes over, and he's just like, hey, I'm gonna keep ranking up, like, just like we talked about, you know, like, I'm not waiting for you, I'm not staying on your level, like, you better meet me at my level. And then I thought it was, toward the end there, you know, they stole Isagi, and so Nagi and Chigori, they were real angry with him. So we're thinking, oh, you know, numbers 1, 2, and 3, they're really good, so obviously they're going to be the best, but we're going to beat them anyways, right? We're going to dethrone them, we're going to kick them off the show. No, that's kind of like the first moment that made me wake up and like, I don't know what's going on in this anime. Like, I don't know what to expect, I don't know what could happen next. Like, it really, it's going to keep going whether you're ready for it or not. And so I think even if you try to make predictions, you're going to be wrong 9 times out of 10 on this show. Do you have any other big moments that you enjoy that we didn't talk about?
Just some silly, stupid moments. I was shocked when I first watched this to find that it was like one building.
It made it seem like it was going to be like, what, 5 buildings or something, kind of embodying into one? Like, that was the goal?
Yeah, the twist is like, you thought it was this big, but no, it's this small.
Yeah, and then there weren't even the 300 like you'd mentioned. You know, we're intimidated thinking there's 300 people you have to overcome, and then it turns out, oh no, there's like 50 or 30, or I don't even know how many there were to begin with, but it's just like, nope, I lied. I wanted to get in your head and see if you're going to become this egoist. And you're like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. We didn't really mention him because he pops in and out. But Ego, Jinpachi Ego, who is the runner of all this, he is just, I guess he's enough. He's not in it enough. He's in it, but he's not in it enough for me really like to have something with him. But I do love his moments. I do love his diet of just ramen noodles. And I appreciate his lack of caring about budgets and just spending as much as you want. I appreciate a man who just is like, I don't care about a budget, I'm gonna spend all the money.
Right.
And another thing that I really liked is this, like, this thing of, I guess his name is Imumara. He's part of the, was it Team Y, I guess. Or no, Team Z. He's part of the Team Z. Or he has this quote, and it's just like, soccer is the same as romance, and it's a game of courtship. As far as this one goes, it's like a girl who's out of your league. She may seem tough to win over, but in reality, she has zero experience. And once she falls for me, she'll be head over heels. And in this case, her name is Miss Team Y, I guess, because that's the other team they're fighting against. Yeah. I was just like, who is this guy? What is this, his stance on things? I just found it interesting that I was like, it's this girl that you're really attracted to, and then you find out she has zero experience in dating.
I can't wait to get season two, because there's a character who like also has some womanizer tendencies, and so just like some of the comments just sound so out of pocket, but the person's so bland that like you wouldn't expect any of it out of him.
This show has made me that way of this random character will say this such out-of-pocket comment. If you're like, you haven't talked this whole show, and the one thing you say is a strange, crazy statement. But are there any other moments that you really that stood out to you?
No, I think that's the main ones that I had written down.
Just before we head out, Lara, what did you take away from this show? For me, it was just like overcoming adversity and like surpassing all your limits and just pushing yourself further than you thought you could. Just kind of what I thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, like I kind of mentioned, it's very much like an Asta kind of show. Like this whole thing's about surpassing your limits and like overcoming everything that you thought was possible before and like not losing. It all becomes like, oh, I want to be number one. I want to be the best. You know, obviously I keep going back to that, but it's like, I want to be the Wizard King. I want to be the best striker in the world. Like it's got to be this. And so it's very much like, you might have limits and you might even believe that you can't do more, but people are going to draw it out of you. You surround yourself with the right people and they're going to show you that you can do more.
So with every show that we watch, we give it a rating according to our rating scale. So Seth, Blue Lock season one, just season one, what would you rate this? I know you have a little bias maybe.
Right, right. No, I put my rating on before I watched season two. So this is my true season one rating. So on our scale, top tier is called Chef's Kiss. You go down a little bit, there's mouthwatering. A little more down, you have satisfying. Just a snack, taste of regret, garbage disposal. Don't touch it. It's gross. This one, to me, like, it's honestly towards the top. And like I said, you know, I've watched some pretty good animes, like some pretty high-name ones that I might put on that Chef's Kiss category. But this surprised me, the fact that I had it all the way at mouthwatering. I thought it was just so surprising because I was never a soccer guy growing up. So hearing that, you know, I think you were between Blue Lock and Blue Exorcist, and I was like, oh, like Blue Exorcist looks kind of cool. And you're like, let's do Blue Lock. I was like, come on, like, okay. But, you know, it could have been some good fight scenes, but I was completely wrong. And so obviously I started off with low expectations, just kind of, oh, what's soccer going to bring me? But I'm so glad to say that I was wrong. Like the character development, which is my favorite aspect of an anime, it's off the charts. Like every single person, every single episode, somebody's pushing past their limits and giving that 110%. Like, yeah, everyone's kind of like a back-and-forth close game, you'd think. Like, it's kind of predictable. It's going to be back-and-forth till the team wins. But they handled a lot of drama into it. They brought a lot of excitement. Like you said, there were plenty of plot twists because there were some pretty good ones from start to finish. I mean, there could have some variety. I think that's kind of what's holding it back is, yeah, it's all soccer, but maybe I almost do need filler. Like, I need those side episodes to kind of bring a little something different. Because, I mean, every game is an intense soccer match, and it's intimidating sometimes, but I mean, I think if season two brings me some more variety, I could have given like Chef's Kiss is kind of like where I was thinking like I could go there, like there's something missing, I could bring it. I just couldn't see myself putting it over like, you know, my Black Clover, my Hero, things like that, that I've watched 41 episodes in a day on those. But this one, like I said, it had me hooked and I did end up watching 14 episodes one day shamelessly because I could not stop. I got so soaked into it. So I think it's definitely worth the watch. Highly recommended.
I definitely recommend it, even though, so my rating is satisfying. I really enjoyed this anime, and the only reason I gave it satisfying was that once I'm in it, I'm in it, and I don't put it down. Like, once I pick it up, it's like I'm eating a great sandwich. I'm going to finish the sandwich. I'm not going to put it down for later. But once I'm not eating it, it's just kind of on the back burner of my
mind. It's like, are you going to think about it during that off time?
When I was first watching this, my first time watching this, I definitely was texting my friends, just telling them, oh my gosh, I can't believe this character. This happened, and whoa, this actually seems really cool. And it's that sense of, oh wow, this is giving me that shonen action without the superpower part of it. And so for me, it was like sass. It's very close to mouthwatering because when I do pick it up, I cannot put it down. It's good. So I don't want to be like in between. So I'm sticking with Satisfying. It's great. It's a great watch. Again, I can't gush over how much I love the animation so much. I recommend this. I recommended it to you. I recommend it to everyone who loves action anime like My Hero and want something like My Hero Bleach. And they want something like that, but they want to dabble into a different genre. I think Blue Lock is a great entry point for you. And, you know, it's not going to throw you off too much. It's not too kooky.
Right.
So those are just our opinions, but we'd love to hear what y'all thought about this season. Please leave a comment telling us your favorite moment, your favorite character. You can find us on at Anime Bento Pod. You can find me. I'm at Jimsta2.
Well, I think I'm now going to creep on your post once this is made so I can argue some points with some fans here. Whoever wants to talk about the show, I'm happy to talk about it because obviously, like I said, like it was very exciting for me. There's lots of things. And even if some of the fans have watched season two already want to talk about it, they can go ahead and just pop some questions in there. I'm happy to hop on your post and answer some questions just the same. So
always love a good discussion. You know, why your favorite character was Bachira. And I mean, like, why everyone's favorite character is Bachira.
If anybody's favorite character is not Bachira, then we got to talk about it.
That is true. Well, that's all for this week's episode. Until next time, stay legendary.
Stay nerdy, folks.
Let's start the show.